One thing I've learned, and I don't give too much parental advice, but, you know, lead your children through their passions, right? You know, that'll probably serve them better than, you know, leading them through, hey, you got to be, you know, a rich doctor, or you have to be a corporate accountant, or you really understand home their passions.
Hello, hello. My name is Abel Pacheco, and you're listening to the Five Talents Podcast, how to build wealth like the 1%. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Five Talents Podcast, how to build wealth like the 1%. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. I'm the principal of Five Talents Capital. We're a San Antonio, Texas real estate investment firm, and we're actively invested in 1,500 doors of commercial real estate worth $150 million, much of which is right here in San Antonio, Texas, the Alamo City, baby. I'm also a fund manager, a capital allocator, and a servant leader who learned how to invest like the 1%. And on the Five Talents Podcast, I enjoy helping others learn and doing the same. So if you're seeking investment strategies to catapult your family wealth and generate passive income, even in today's volatile market, this show is for you. Because each week we're bringing you interviews with PE firms, investment advisors, financial planners, tax strategists, VC funds, and many others who are highly skilled in handling money, good stewards of capital, and individuals who advise the wealthiest 1% on what to do with their money. So each show, we're going to provide you insights and actionable steps that you can implement to become a better investor. You're always going to learn something that you can apply in your own investment journey on the Five Talents Podcast. We hope you enjoy the show. All right. Hello, hello. This is Abel Pacheco, your host for the Five Talents Podcast. We are here yet again with another amazing guest, Mr. Justin Smith. Excited to have him on. Justin, how's it going, bro?
It's going pretty good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate you taking awesome. A few minutes with us, man. I'm excited.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you don't know Justin, you need to get in his world. If you're interested in, you know, basically anything from development, anything from land entitlement, development of and construction of a full final asset management life cycle from beginning to running it, running the show and having, you know, a good successful development project. He is the man. He's done about 1,500 plus units of development housing, about 3,200 beds that he's constructed just in the last 6 years. So about $422 million plus, I'm sure at this point, of project value. And so he has done a lot of different successful projects and the founder of Real Equity Enterprises. So they have a private equity and real estate firm. They also acquire multifamily. They've done in the Southeast and the Midwest and, you know, another 300 plus stores as a general partner. And he's all over the place. The man has done a lot of client developments and also some advisory services for those that just need some assistance to do that. So I'm excited to have Justin, you know, on the show. We've been good buddies and friends since, man, I think we met during COVID 2020, just a voice over the internet, right, man?
I know it was one of those cloud sharing platforms where you're just a voice and you're kind of bouncing around from room to room.
Yep.
And I saw this guy, you know, Bill, and I'm like, hey, man, I think I've seen you. And I think at that point you had, you know, a few, you know, podcasts, you know, or at least guesting and hosting and things like that. And I was like, well, this is the person I really need to connect with, you know. So, you know, this is awesome that, you know, I can, you know, connect with you now and really see your evolution. So kudos and hats off to you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. If you remember this app called Clubhouse, like, you know, it was me and Justin hanging out and, you know, we'd hang out with a little bit of Grant Cardone and Sharon Lecter. And, you know, every once in a while we'd meet with somebody, you know, just to come out of the woodwork, somebody famous and
right.
Just all kinds of things. And it was good to be in a network at that time because that was like right in the heart of COVID. We were very rarely going out on my side of the world. And so it was a great opportunity to network and then met some good friends like Justin and stayed connected with some great people. So anyways, fantastic opportunity to have you on the show because I think our listeners are going to learn a good bit from you. So on the Five Talents Podcast, if you're a listener, you know that we talk about a lot of real estate stuff, a lot of financial freedom, lots of mindset around these investments, but all kinds of different topics. And so, you know, Justin, we're going to have a great show. I'd love to start with, Justin, in your own words, not mine, tell us about you. Tell us who you are and what you do, and we'll just start a great conversation here, my friend.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. You know, who am I? I'm the all things building nerd, right? You know, so, you know, and what I mean by that, at a very young age, I developed a sort of passion for everything building. I wanted to, you know, my big thing as a youngin' was, okay, how do I build, develop, own city blocks? That was kind of like the thing, right? There was this barren acreage of land in my neighborhood, and I'm from, you know, Oakland, California, and it was barren, you know, and there wasn't a lot of, you know, patches of large barren land because, you know, sort of inner city living and that type of thing. But nevertheless, there was this one patch, right? And a developer came in and just in a blink of an eye, like put up, I don't know, it was either 15 to 20 Victorian homes. And, you know, a couple of things happened. A, I was frustrated because that's what we used to ride our bikes through. So I was like, how the heck could he do that? Like, you know, that was the path to school, right? But B, I was also intrigued with the fact that it could happen, right? And they could emulate the fabric and the look of the other buildings in the neighborhood, the Victorian buildings. And if anybody's, you know, that's listening to the podcast and drove through West Oakland, you know, it was a strong up through the 60s and 70s and then into the 80s, a strong, you know, African-American neighborhood, and the fabric of it was a lot of Victorian homes and things like that. Wow. And other different building types. But that's what they did, right? And they emulated
it. And they made it look like and feel like.
Right. They made it
for a long time.
Exactly. Right. And so that was just amazing to me. And I was like, well, I don't know what that was all about. I saw all the equipment, but I needed to understand how to make that happen, right?
That's awesome. Yeah.
And, you know, our family, you know, I come from humble beginnings, very large family, you know, 7+1, you know, which is what we call it because it was 7 boys and 1 girl.
Hey, so you're one of 8, 7 plus one. That's 7 boys and 1 sister. I feel sorry for all of her boyfriends or anybody trying to.
Yeah, they had it coming.
And I'm also like, I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son. And I'm like,
yeah.
Man, yeah, it's a mindset.
It is a mindset, and it was an amazing time. And, you know, hats off and all the blessings to my mom, who's no longer with us, and my father, who is. But, you know, they really carried the torch and really carried us through a really, you know, turbulent time. I mean, you could read the history and see the movies and this and that of the 80s and the 90s and, you know, the crack era and some of those things that plagued me in crime and so on and so forth. But we were all able to get through the high school experience. And
amen, go, amen.
And graduate. Amen. So hats off and many flowers to my mom and father, you know, for really kind of shepherding us through that whole time and process. Because, you know, many might know that, you know, the African-American experience in inner city areas, you know, it can have, you know, various trap doors, right?
Yeah, to say the exactly, least, minority, right? You know, one shape or form in the area of the country you were and, you know, just all the cards stacked up against, right? So,
right,
yeah.
Right. And, you know, I mean, you see the movies about, you know, the gangster movies or the drug movies or, you know, the stuff that, you know, the BMF and, you know, all these different, you know, things that characterize urban cities. So, but, you know, we had the will, the drive and desire, or we were taught the will and drive and desire to go for something better, to wish for something better, to push your talents through architecture or push your talents through mechanical engineering or through music. Or through finance, or through my sister's a lactation consultant and a maternal health advocate.
Yeah.
So really, you know, pushing yourself.
Those are all the professions of your brothers and sisters. I mean, your brother and sister.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Amazing family. Yeah.
Right. No, I appreciate that. And one of the things that, you know, I'll say to your listeners that's not real estate and finance, but, you know, one thing I've learned, and I don't give too much parental advice, but, you know, lead your children through their passions, right? You know, that'll probably serve them better than, you know, leading them through, hey, you got to be, you know, a rich doctor, or you have to be a corporate accountant, or you know, really understand home their passions and our parents.
Man, that's awesome. Let me just pause here for a second, right? So if you're listening, you know, it's pen and paper time, right? For the important things, the real important things. Yes, we want to have success through real estate and, you know, financial freedom and, you know, all this pursuit for wealth, blah, 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 blah. I have a 5-year-old and 3-year-old. And for all the listeners, you have children, lead your children through their passions.
That's right.
And it will likely serve them better than, you know, any technical advice, because the technical advice, it could definitely come. Here's financial literacy, but if they're excited and they're passionate about it, you're probably going to have way more success leading your children through their passion. So
that's right.
Thank you.
That's exactly right. And, you know, that's what our parents instilled in us. And my mother had this knack for really understanding each one of our passions. It's an amazing thing, you know, having eight children in itself, but also really understanding who each one of us individually was. Mm-hmm. And would say, okay, you're good at this, or you excel at this, or you have these qualities, pushing yourself through that. And so that really was my foundation. That really fueled my energy and my drive. So if I said, hey, you know, I like skyscrapers, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, I knew that my mother would say, yeah, if you like skyscraper, baby, go build one, you know, go design one, right? You know, and just being that consummate energy. So when we talk about mindset and all this, I kind of push that to a side and say, who is that little voice? Or what is that little internal passion? What drives you to do what you do? And when you lead through that and you align your secrets or your energy through that, won't be led astray. And that's just my sort of my internal gauge and North Star and guide.
Yeah, get it on, man. That's awesome. What an amazing, you know, just kind of background and story. Thank you for letting us in for just a few minutes on a little bit more personal, because that's, I think a lot of people can relate to, you know, being younger, seeing some things and then maybe acting on it and sometimes not acting on it. And you know, if you didn't act on it, you can absolutely still make the choice to act today.
And that's,
you know, bless your mom for helping you, you know, just act on it when you're younger, man. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good point that you made, that your listeners should not overlook acting on it or not. That is, sometimes it's okay to walk away and not act on. Sometimes the deal may not either pencil or be what you need at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because I know some of your listeners are probably in the, you know, passive investors or active investors or GPs. Not every deal is a good deal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some good deals you do not need to do at this point in time. And so you really have to lean on, you know, whatever your mechanics, whatever your technique, whatever your practices, whatever your learned abilities to evaluate something. You know, sometimes a no is a good thing.
There you go, man. There you go. I love it. Well, thank you very much. So, you know, let's fast forward a little bit. So what are you doing today? I know we went through some data points and some stats, $400 million plus of some developments, 300 doors. I mean, you're doing it, but let's just talk, let's, you know, dig behind the a little bit more into the details. What does that mean for those that don't know? Like, what the heck do you do? Construction, development? When you said you're a building nerd and, you know, development nerd, what does that mean? And what do you do on a daily basis, man? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. You know, I do what I enjoy. What I enjoy is going from dirt to keys, what I call dirt to keys. And that's where you take a barren, you know, acreage of land, you know, pretty much what I saw as a, you know, as a middle school kid, like take barren acres of land or plots of land or urban infill sites that could be like 90 by 100, right? And make that something. You know, it's America. And then the U.S., which is technically the same thing, and California and Texas, like there is a shortage of housing.
Yeah.
There's a shortage of housing, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with that in mind, I like to go from dirt to keys, find a site, determine its highest and best use through a pre-design and pre-development, get that highest and best use entitled, move forward through the design process, procure and find the financing and the capital structures that will make that project come to life, and then execute on it. Execution stage usually is that flag that you're financed, that you're doing the groundbreaking, that you're moving forward, and then start construction. And then construction is a very, should be a very technical and very managed approach, because there's a lot of things that can go wrong, but it should be based on three concepts: scope, budget, and schedule, and you manage it through that process. When that is complete and your authorities having jurisdiction approves, like as a certificate of occupancy or your substantial completion, and you paid off, you know, your retention and all your vendors, then you move into the stage of operations, whether you're operating it yourself, whether you're third party management, or whether you're having a, you know, a national firm come in and manage that, or that could be a point at which you sell the property.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you could keep it for, you know, a 5-year run just to, you know, a 3-year run to manage it you know, looking at your event horizons, which in our world is sort of an IRR or some type of return on yield, a return on capital, and then you sell it at that point. So that is the continuum by which, you know, I work through. And at each one of those stages that I just mentioned, you should keep in mind as you're going through it, where your off-ramp is and where your opportunity to maximize the either value of it or minimize the risk of the next stage, because each stage has risk and you may not be comfortable with that. So you got to understand those stages and have your off ramps if you so choose, and understand the risk of these stages.
Yeah,
that's sort of what I do. And so I may pick up, you know, a piece of property that's in along that continuum, meaning it could be a piece of land that's not entitled. I may pick it up for what I might see as value. Mm-hmm. It could be a entitled piece where, you know, a group might have it entitled and they need to get to the next stage and they may need financing or they may need advisory. And then I can help them with that. And then there's other stages where I can help them either buy or bring capital or, you know, other maturations.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Five Talents Podcast with me, your host, Abel Pacheco. And since you're listening to the show right now, I wanted to break for a moment to tell you thank you so much for subscribing and following the show. I also want to give you access to our Simple Wealth case study for busy professionals that we explain how we invested in $150 million of commercial real estate to generate passive income. So I'm sharing with you how I personally build wealth like the 1% and explaining how you can create passive income in real estate without having to manage it yourself. So do yourself a favor, take a moment now and go to www.5talents.capital. That's the number 5, talents, T-A-L-E-N-T-S dot capital. And you can register, watch our video recorded case study, and we're going to give you access to our investment club as well. If you want to see like all of our next moves, every single investment move that we make, future investment opportunities, and even perhaps invest alongside us, go to our website now. We look forward to sharing more. You can register at www.5talents.capital. And we look forward to having you as part of the club. There you go, man. You've talked about a lot. So let me pause here for those, you know, just that from a recap standpoint, you know, taking the raw land and looking for the highest and best use for that land, getting it entitled. So including, you know, for those that don't know, that's including like the design, the architecture, the right. Civil, you got approvals from the city. You have mechanical, electrical, plumbing, engineering, all this stuff, like these plans that, you know, someone has in their head. And it's like, hey, can we do this? And once you've got that thing designed, then you got to figure out, well, shoot, everyone's going to say yes. And this is what it's going to look like. And the city's good with it. And everybody approves it. How do I finance that thing? I got to put some money together and, you know, a little bit of debt and equity on a capital stack. And, right. you know, what Justin's talking about is like, wow, that's, you know, some execution. We're going to get it done. But we're not even talking about building yet. We're not talking about any machines in the ground, moving dirt around or any of that stuff yet. I mean, that's the construction scope budget schedule that he talks about. Like, how do we make sure that that goes right? So, man, there's all of this, these life cycles that Justin and his team does from start to finish. And, you know, every one of these is amazing. It all comes together. And that's why you see this project go up vertical, right. whether it's a skyscraper or a small house, right? It's right. like, this is the stages, right?
That is the stage. And what's also interesting is, you know, people have, you know, getting back to passions, and we talked about that a little bit earlier, but, you know, it's okay to only do one piece. You don't have to do the whole thing. There are some folks out there very good at finding land, and that's really at the very beginning. And maybe that's where they stop. Like, I find the land, I find the deals, and then I find folks that maybe want to procure, buy, or a partner. Boom, done.
Land entitlement, right?
Land entitlement, right.
Exit, have a short period of time.
Short period of time.
A lot of time, effort, and energy goes into that, making sure the rounds are good, and then, you know, exiting, right?
And because each stage has a commiserate, you know, risk versus reward sort of perspective. You know, I mean, there are great risks to getting into land. There's great risks, you know, in terms of the entitlement process. You could spend $2 million on just paper.
Yeah.
You know, and the project doesn't get entitled, or the project gets entitled, but, you know, interest rates, you know, go haywire.
Yeah. on this note, let's talk for this, or if I can share, right? The interest rates, like what are interest rates going to do right now? What's happening? And we record this on February 17th, 2023. So timestamp this thing, right? And people ask me like, what's going to happen? Well, shoot, I'm just looking at projections, forward projections for curves that smarter people than I like put together their assumptions.
Right.
And that interest rate's going to keep rising until 2023, middle of this year, June, July, keep heading up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everyone's saying, well, it's got to come down. And I don't disagree. I think it's going to come down. But the now the debate is, how quickly is it going to come down? Is there going to be a sharp and fast drop and then streamline? Or is it just going to not go down and it's going to stay at the same rate for another year or so?
Yeah.
But I'm in the camp of, I think it'll come down very slowly. It went up very fast. It's going to go down slowly. And we're going to have this long tail. If you're looking at a graph, this long tail all the way through 2024, probably, or 2023 into 2024, probably not till 2025. And that's kind of where my mindset is, like, man, things got to come back around at that time. So that's my take on interest rates. But to your point, like, you know, a deal that we were chasing a couple of years ago,
literally
was at a 2.7% HUD 221 D4 rate. And now the things, you know, like, hey, they want us to lock at 5.7. And this number is such a small, it's 2 to 5. You're like, well, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But man, when you run this thing over years and years and years, it has millions and millions of dollars of implication, you know, and it's like, man, there's a lot of projects that just aren't breaking ground right now. A lot of projects that fell through and, you know, because of 2% versus 5%, right? It's like, that's crazy.
You know, you bring up two interesting points about that. You're right. There's a lot of deals not breaking ground right now. And then there's a lot of deals that can't break ground because the exit strategy of that next stage is not aligned with the current expectations.
Yeah, whether you break ground or not, we're looking at the 5-year, 10-year maturation of the deal. Like, well, that doesn't make sense anymore either.
Right. And so we talked about deals and stages. So let's kind of talk about, you know, really the, you know, buying apartment buildings or, you know, buying multifamily and that type of thing, right? We could go into the details of IRRs and rate of returns and cash on cash and all those stuff. But I want to simplify things a little bit and just say, really, for the deal, what is the event horizon? Like, what is the horizon?
Event horizon. I heard you say that. I like that. Yeah.
You know, what are you trying to reach, right? What are you trying to reach for, A, your investors? Because, you know, if you have investors and partners, you know, need to understand that this is not a selfish business. If you bring in investors, they're number one, right? We need to be stewards of
investor capital,
right? So, but then what investment horizon are you looking for? Like, what do you expect to happen in 3 years or in 4 years or in 5 years, right? And the thing about the interest rates, it has changed. You know, some of these deals, you know, like your average, you know, hey, you know, your, what is it, 506C deal, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you get in it for, you know, 3 to 5 year hold situation like that, right? Right. And so the expectation is 3 to 5 years, you're going to sell the deal. Well, what's the interest rates going to be when you go to do that? And another thing is, you know, some of the current deals, you know, might have adjustable interest rates. Mm-hmm. And then did you pontificate a rate cap in that? And so what's going to happen when the interest rate rises over and beyond what you think it's going to be? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're right. None of us, I don't know if you're like a world economist, you could be, you're a super smart guy, right? But how do we manage, the question becomes, how do we really manage the risk of interest rates, of things that are out of our control? You got to pull it to the here and now and the current and what's close and what can I do in the next 6 months too? Or what can I do month by month by month? And so you break it down to that, you know, keep your occupancies high, keep your tenants engaged, keep your investors happy, you know, and really manage that asset. You know, get down to the nitty gritty. The things above you are going to happen, interest rates and world activities and oil and gas going up and down and up and down, whatever it does, and electricity and, you know, legislature, Congress doing all these different things. But you have to really get down to the little pieces and manage the little pieces.
I agree. We've got some deals and that we're operating and our expenses are higher than planned for, or debt service is higher than planned for. And you know, all you can do is like, well, let's just operate it the best we can. And let's look at what we can control, and taxes kind of out of our control. Insurance quotes, a little out of our control. Payroll, a little more within our control. You know, trying to figure out how do we, you know, create some efficiencies, keep our occupancy high, get, you know, push market rents, you know. Thankfully, within our control was the market we're investing in and the submarkets there. Right. And so you just kind of work through as best as you possibly can. And I definitely think there's going to be some opportunities for the exact same thing you mentioned. The hardships are one, or the, you know, the lack of vision for the event horizon at the end, as the way you said it, you know, that problem or challenge is frankly going to be an opportunity for some of those. That the end of the year is my best guess, right? That's the end of the year. That's the best opportunity. So that's kind of when we're all looking for it and seeing what shakes out. But yeah, man, this has been a fun conversation. There's, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to get into all of the intricacies of each one of those things, but man, congratulations on your success, Justin. It's been great hearing you and seeing you and just doing the thing, man, doing the thing. So before we go on our show, good number of listeners, audience, people that are, you know, listening, who do you want to reach out to you and where should they go? Would it direct them somewhere?
You know, who do I want to reach out to me are, you know, capital sources, partners, and people who, you know, good people who are passionate about this type of business and really understand what it takes and want to take their project to the next level and see that we have some synergies and we work towards that, right? So I'm open to a number of different types of conversations, you know, whether it's an active asset that, you know, someone is trying to, you know, sell that's 100 units or greater, or it's an opportunity for development, you know, student housing, HBCUs, one of my passions, you know, let's reach out. Where do they want to go? Relequity.com, R-E-L-E-Q-U-I-T-Y, R-E-L, equity.com. And the email address is info@relequity.com. So that's the way that you can reach me. We'd love to have a conversation. We'd love to, you know, share my knowledge where I can.
All right. So the areas that you can go reach out to Justin, his website and link and all that will be in the show notes. So you can go click there and go tell him that you heard our conversation on this podcast, the Five Times podcast, and I'd be blessed. That'd be awesome. And yeah, man, good luck to you and look forward to, you know, continued conversations.
Oh yeah, it's going to be great. And, you know, hopefully, you know, folks listen to this, you know, we're thinking, oh man, it's foggy, it's doom and gloom, it's interesting. I don't know where this and that, da, da, da. Let me leave you with one thing. You make money when you buy, and you can make money in any market today, tomorrow, in a bad market, a good market, highs, low. You make money when you buy.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, because we're all making money when we buy, you know, on the real estate side. And so as the interest rates, you know, whether they stay high, flatten out, take a drop, whatever, if we project to the future, you know, there's a little bit of an issue where some people maybe have that hard time or need to exit for whatever reason. Also, I've heard 10% of all commercial loans in any year have to trade. So in a minimum, 10% have to trade in good or bad market, meaning their terms are up, their financing's over, and, you know, they have to exit 10% of all commercial deals. So there's got to be some trading. It's just a matter of when. And when that happens, I think there's still going to be some great deals to be had because we make our money when we buy. So that's absolutely, I agree with you, man. And I know we've had a lot of good conversations so far. Before we go, is there anything else, you know, that you were hoping I asked, something we didn't talk about, something you, you know, wanted to share, last nuggets of wisdom or just did insight or, you know, any conversation, man, the time is yours.
You know, I really wanted to share, you know, that really you make money when you buy. And that people should continue to be disciplined in their approach to what they're buying. And if the buying is a no-go decision, stick to it. If your gut, your numbers, your dollar, your metrics, your stats tell you it's not a good deal, then it's not a good deal. So really, you know, stick to your strategies. You know, don't do what everybody else is doing. I mean, be disciplined. I mean, you know, I've seen you on a number of podcasts and conferences and things like that. And so, you know, really learn, you know, sort of how to do it. Learn by doing, you know, get engaged. But that's really it, man. I mean, and, you know, learn by doing, get engaged and stick to your practices and principles.
All right. It's been awesome having you on the show. Justin, thank you very much for joining us. For all of our listeners, we appreciate your time, your energy, efforts in liking, subscribing, rating, reviewing. These things really are important. We're getting up to about 30,000 downloads a month right now. Yeah, we're definitely moving, and we appreciate all of the listeners that are supporting the show. So it's a great time, you know, to be a part of the area, right? One of our sponsors that I'll mention, Anderson Advisors. So we're going to put their link in the show notes as well. I've used them for a number of years, really since like 2018. I had 10 years, I would buy real estate. I would put it under my own name, 2010 to 2018. And then somebody was like, hey, that's probably not so smart. Those experts and advisors have been Anderson. So they helped me start some corporate structures. They helped me put a good strategy together for taxes and risk protection. So I've leaned on Anderson Advisors for a number of years. I'll put their notes, you know, the link. Reach out to them, ping them, let them know you heard about them on our podcast, and I'd also be blessed. So just want to say thank you to them. And Justin, thanks for your time. Appreciate everything. Talk to everyone on the next show. See ya.
All righty. See you, folks.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Five Talents Podcast with myself, your host, Abel Pacheco. We really appreciate you liking, following, subscribing, and leaving all the written reviews for the Five Talents Podcast. Each week, we're going to continue to bring interviews with private equity folks, VCs, advisors, financial planners, strategists, tax strategists, and other stewards of capital, many of which advise the wealthiest 1% on what to do with their money. So we appreciate you joining. Also, if you want to be notified of monthly future events we're hosting or attending, and if you want exclusive access to the same investment opportunities that have largely been reserved for the wealthiest 1%, many of which you've rarely ever heard about, go now to our website, watch our wealth building case study, and register to be added to our investment club. We're going to send you future opportunities, and you'll be able to watch all the moves that we make firsthand. Your investment journey is waiting for you to take the next step. So what is the next step? Go to www.5talents.capital. That's 5talents.capital, and register today. Thank you again. We can't wait to bring you the next show. And thank you for liking and subscribing.